Well, if I can put to Andrew as we're coming towards the end of our time, what message would you give to our viewers in terms of reassuring them that the Conservative Party is indeed a home for ethnic minority people, even in this time of recession where many people are feeling that identity issues are coming to the fore rather than the equality issues?
I only heard half the question, so apologies, but I think, you know, the Conservative Party, one of our core principles is fairness, and I think one thing that ethnic minority communities, in common with the, you know, white working class community in the UK, one thing in common across the board is everybody just wants fairness. People want to be treated fairly, people want to be respected, people want to be able to make their contribution, make their mark on society, regardless of race, colour, creed, sexual orientation, or whatever. And I think the Conservative Party and the coalition government need to really show that we are on people's side. We are helping empower people, not pandering to different groups. And, you know, I was critical, and I know many people on the Labour side were critical of some of the steps by the last government, like Prevent and targeting specific groups and specific minority communities. I think we need to be fair across the board, and we need to be seen to be fair across the board, as well as between different ethnic minority communities. That also means we need to be fair to the north of England as we are fair to the south of England. Without very much as impassioned as a north of England MP. We need to put fairness at the centre of everything the government does.
Well, on that conciliatory and a note of consensus, I see Yasmin was nodding away there as well. I close this first half. Do join us for the second half, and thank you to all our guests.
Thank you.
Asalaamu Alaikum and welcome back to the Politics and Media Show. In this section, we'll be discussing two things which have wider implications on relations between the government and British Muslims. Firstly, the controversial cancellation of a joint FOCIS civil service careers event by the Home Office. The careers event had been due to take place last week but was cancelled. Home Secretary Theresa May was apparently furious about the event. Her anger was due to what she sees as insufficient willingness of the Muslim student body to tackle extremism. But FOCIS said it has worked consistently with key figures, including the government, on the issue of radicalisation on campus, and evidence of this was the major recent conference on the issue, which was attended by government and security experts. It also says it has a record over the past 50 years of fostering engagement between Muslim students and students of other faiths. In this section, we'll also be looking into the controversial decision by the Home Secretary again to deport the Palestinian activist Sheikh Raed Saleh. Before I introduce my guests, here's a recap of the issues we're discussing.
It seems this isn't a good time for UK government relations with British Muslims. Earlier this year, the leading Palestinian activist Sheikh Raed Saleh was unlawfully detained by the Home Office and is now being deported from the UK. It's a decision which angered many, including human rights activists, who argued that the decision to detain and subsequently deport Saleh was politically motivated and had nothing to do with an alleged travel ban. The High Court in London had even ruled that Sheikh Saleh was unlawfully detained, subsequently awarding him with compensation. But that's not the only incident which has had British Muslim groups up in arms. The Federation of Student Islamic Societies was recently shunned by Home Secretary Theresa May, who cancelled a meeting with the group after criticising it for not doing enough to combat extremism on university campuses. FOCIS point out the danger in government members like May not engaging with Muslims and instead persisting in criticising efforts at building understanding between people. The president of FOCIS said he was deeply concerned with May's comments about the group and said that the only way to progress is to sit and talk properly on the issue of extremism. However, if the government refuses to open dialogue with the very people whose support is needed to combat extremism, what does the future hold for relations between the government and British Muslims?
With me in the studio, I have Asif Hussain, who's head of campaigns from FOCIS. Thank you for being here today. And on the phone, we're joined by Dr. Dawood Abdullah from the Middle East Monitor. We did invite the Home Secretary or someone from the Home Office to participate, but unfortunately, they were unable to provide anybody. However, they did send us the following statement. The government has been very clear it will not support or fund organisations that do not support traditional British values, such as democracy, free speech and the rule of law. If organisations want government support, they must be clear and unequivocal in their opposition to extremism and terrorism. Well, that's been the response again from Theresa May. As a first representative, what's your response?
Well, that's the first I've heard of that statement. And it's all very well and good, but I don't see how that relates to FOSIS. I think FOSIS, for the past 50 years, has been a democratic organisation. You have elections even within the organisation itself. Mm-hmm. In terms of freedom of speech, we have a very strong stance that we should allow and foster debate among in campuses, whether we agree with what's being said or not. And for through the course of debate, inshallah, we hope that the right course of action would come out and people would start to think in the right way and go against what they would classify as extreme thought. And I think the second point she made about how we have to be unequivocal in our combating of extremism. You know, FOSIS, for the past 50 years and recently also since everything has hit off since 9/11/77, has really been the mainstream in terms of really pushing for Muslim students to come back into the mainstream, not as though they were outside the mainstream in the first place, but if you allow FOSIS and Islamic societies just to do their job and the good work that they are doing on the ground. You know, we just had recently Charity Week across the nation this past week, where Islamic societies were collecting money for charity for orphans in Somalia. You know, all this good work which is happening on campuses, if they empower us and allow us to carry on with that good work, then extremism and radicalization will stop being an issue. You can't have a situation where they want us to engage and want us to combat extremism and radicalization, they want us to integrate. And as soon as we start doing that, they start moving the goalposts and saying, actually, you know what, that's not integration, that's not what we mean.
Well, there's a pretty stark example there. Here was a careers event which had organised jointly with the civil service and yourselves, encouraging Muslim students to participate in British society through the civil service, and then it was cancelled. How does that make any sense?
It beggars belief. It doesn't make any sense. If she wants us to integrate, if the Home Secretary wants us to integrate and to take a more active role in British society, and this here was an event which was designed for Muslims to do exactly that, to get involved with the civil service, the most British of the institutions that we have in this country, and she cancelled it because apparently we're not doing enough to try and integrate. Well, that was our effort to try and integrate and to get into wider British mainstream society.
And on the charge that FOSIS should be doing more to tackle extremism, in your press release you mentioned that in March you did a counter-terrorism conference. So who actually was there and why is that not seen as something dealing with extremism?
I have no idea. We had a government official there from Prevent. We had a couple of officials from Prevent, if I remember correctly. We had the police there present. We had university officials and administrations and chancellors there, and it was held at UCL. It was quite a wide-ranging conference, really aiming to tackle the core of the issue and to really see where the issue lies. Before we go on to tackle extremism, we have to find out what is extremism, you know, where do the boundaries lie? And that was an event which was designed to try and find that out. The government was there, so I'm not sure if the government has forgotten about that event or what's happened since.
So do you think this really is a concern that Islamic societies are not doing their bit, as it were, despite the evidence that you're putting forward today? Or do you think this is really about silencing opinions which perhaps the government doesn't like? We've been reading recently that people saying that Barbara Ahmed should have a fair trial, not necessarily claiming innocence or guilt either way. And they were students and members of FOSIS were called extremist on that basis. Do you think this is about silencing dissent?
I wouldn't think so. Because even the Joint Committee on Human Rights, the Parliamentary Joint Committee, when they ruled on Barbara Ahmed's case, had said that it needs to be reviewed. So it's in the mainstream of British society as a whole that Barbara Ahmed's case is a case which needs to be looked at. So in terms of silencing dissenting views, they can't silence the dissenting view of human rights lawyers and human rights activists in this country, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Perhaps here, you know, we have to sincerely believe that perhaps it was just miscommunication, misunderstanding. She's not, the Home Secretary here is perhaps not in full view of all of the facts. And if she was, perhaps she would come to different conclusions about FOSIS and about Islamic societies and about how to go forward. And that can only happen by her engaging with us, sitting down, having a meeting,
seeing what our concerns are, seeing what, and then we can see what her concerns are, and then we can move forward from there.
And what are your relations with the other party? This is a ruling coalition at the moment. You've had other high-profile events with Google and various large media organisations. Are you also forging links with the other mainstream parties?
First, it's not a political organisation in terms of party politics. We don't have allegiances either with the Labour Party or with the government. Our main interests are for what's best for our student Islamic societies and Muslim students up and down the country. And whoever provides the best policies for us, that's who we're going to align ourselves with. So in terms of who are we willing to work with, who are we not willing to work with, we're willing to work with anyone who's willing to work with us.
And what would you say to young Muslims watching this programme? I mean, here's an organisation like yourself, you know, you feel you've been sincere, you've been reaching out, you've demonstrated democracy, you've demonstrated free speech, and yet you're being deliberately distanced and sidelined by government actually cancelling an event they'd organised with yourselves. I mean, can you understand how some people might say, well, it's just not worth it, or would you say a very different message is needed?
I would say that if you are doing good work, if any Muslim students watching this, if you're doing good work on campus or in your community, to carry on doing it. Because in Photos, we're not doing our efforts to become more democratic or to espouse British values or anything like that because the Home Secretary or because the government wants us to. You know, we're willing to, and we're wanting to take an impact into wider society, because that's what we feel is our religious duty. So we're doing that for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of Theresa May. So we'll continue doing that whether or not she applauds us or she criticizes us. We'll continue doing our good work.